Hi.
Bienvenidas a Super Mamás.
Super Mamás.
This is Paulina.
And this is Bricia.
We're new moms.
We're sisters.
I have two beautiful girls, a four-year-old and a one-year-old at home.
And I have one beautiful baby boy.
As you can imagine, we have so much to share.
We're just two working moms rolling with the punches of everyday mommyhood. I hope you guys enjoy the show.
Okay, listas?
Here we go. Hi guys, this is Bricia, and this week in the podcast, we have Lauren French, also known as Madre Luz. Lauren is a certified midwife, and she is going to be answering all the questions, well, not all the questions, some of the questions you guys asked for on Instagram, Facebook, through our Facebook close group. You guys, this is an amazing show with so much information, so I hope you guys enjoy it and take notes.
Hello!
Hello, everyone.
Hi. Hello, sister.
Hola, hermana.
¿Qué onda?
So what's new with you this week, sister?
Where to begin? So many things happened this weekend.
It's Thanksgiving week.
It's Thanksgiving week.
Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. I hope you guys have a great dinner, eat a lot, and be thankful.
I'm so thankful for so many things, but let's talk about your week.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Okay, well, let's see. From last Thursday, I guess.
Dang, you've been saving it for that long, huh?
Well, it was just happened. It was too much too fast. I went out on Thursday night, and I was like, well, I still have Friday to recover. Then Friday came, then I had to go to work. And then Friday night, was it Friday night? I think my best friend went to labor.
That's finally right. Happy. Jackie had her
congratulations,
baby.
Congratulations, Jackie. Beautiful little girl.
Oh, I know. Beautiful. She was on our episode, Comadre Sessions. If everybody wants to go back and check that episode out.
She had the baby, and she was so cute.
Did she like... No, wait. It out.
She like did. Her other two. 15 minutes. Uh-huh. 15 minutes. Freaking out. Jerk. So I told her that I would take her daughter's my goddaughter. Mm-hmm. So I took her to my house, Melinda, and we had our first sleepover.
Nice.
Which was really, really cool. Like, it was so cute to see the girls, like, just, you know.
Seriously? Because you're older now, huh? So it's kind of interesting.
I was kind of afraid because I was like, what if she cries at night? I was like, I'll just deal with it, you know? Mm-hmm. So the whole night I set up this whole like pajama party thing in the room, and it was just crazy. And the whole night both of them were like, mommy, this is the best night ever. Like, aww. I was like, really? It's like, yeah, because we're sleeping over together. It's the best night ever. It's the best day ever. And you could see that genuine happiness in them, and mm-hmm. that was great. So they slept over the next day. We had pancakes, and it was great. And
wait, did you have Lily Love pancakes or just regular like Paulina Lopez
I
pancakes?
I didn't do the pancakes. It was my husband.
Okay.
He helped me out.
What's up, Lily Love 213?
You know what? It was so much work. I mean, not work. It was not work, but it's exhausting to be chasing three kids. Because, you know,
surprise,
Sabina wanted to be in the middle of the whole thing. And they were like, no, no. Like, they were running away from Sabina. And Sabina was crying because she wanted to play with them. And, like, you know, I had to, like, balance it out. Be like, okay, Sabina, here's your time. And she would run away with the girls. And they were like, no, no. They would close the door on her. You know, it was just so funny. And then, so that was, like, Sunday. I stay with her until, like, I don't know, towards the afternoon. And I dropped her off. And then something really weird happened with Krista. When we came back, we actually, I had to change Sabina because she had pooped. So I left her in the living room and she wanted to watch
her
a movie.
Her grown-up poop, huh?
Yeah. And then I was like, well, what do you want to watch? We can watch Toy Story or Panda, the Kung Fu Panda. You know, because she likes the whole like Kung Fu and karate and all of that. So she said, oh, I want to watch Kung Fu Panda. I was like, okay, whatever. So I went, I changed Sabina, and all of a sudden I hear Krista like crying, like literally like sad crying. And I go running and I'm like, what happened? And she just kept crying and crying and crying. I was like, honey, what happened? Tell me. She's like, mommy, the panda baby lost his mommy. And I was like, what? It's like the panda baby lost his mommy. And she was like crying, couldn't stop crying. She was like, where's my daddy? I want to see my daddy. I want my daddy now. And I was like, okay. So I FaceTimed dad. Wait, be like,
well, it was the mommy that yeah. he lost, baby, not the daddy. I'm so, here.
So, like, I called dad and dad's working. We FaceTime for like a couple. He's like, what's going on? You know, and I was like, she's sad, you know. And I was like, it's okay. I know you're sad. You know, it's at that moment I was like, it's okay to be sad. But she was like, no, she lost like the mommy. And I was like, okay. You know, I was just so. It hurt me to see my child like that. So she, through the whole afternoon, she kept talking about that. Mm-hmm. And at night, when I put her down to sleep, I thought she had forgotten.
Oh, they don't forget.
She told me again. She started crying again.
What?
Like, her eyes were full of sadness, telling me how much it hurt her that the panda baby lost the mommy. And then she said, mommy, I don't ever want to lose you, ever, because you're my mommy and I love you.
Oh my God. Did you start crying too?
Yes. I was like, I don't want to lose you either. Oh my God. And then she was like, can you please sleep with me tonight? I just do not want, I don't want to lose you, mommy.
Oh my God.
And I...
Has she seen that movie before?
Never. And this is Kung Fu, okay? I'm like, Kung Fu Panda. Like, and, you know, there's this whole thing, but like, I guess the panda, like, the bad person, like, makes the parents of the panda lose the baby. And
has
then,
she seen Finding Nemo before?
She has. But I don't, I think she's barely, like, putting 2 + 2 together, you know what I mean? Like, lately I've realized that she, like, understands way more than I thought. So... That night, I actually told my husband, like, yeah, I'm going to sleep with her because, you know, she wants to feel close to me. And that was just weird to see her like that. It was just something so new. And another thing was I saw how much a year makes of difference, even though, like, her and Melinda are, like, the same height. But Melinda, when I picked her up, she lives in Venice. We live in Koreatown. It's, mm-hmm. like, what, 20-minute ride? Okay, so we're driving, and it's just me and Melinda. Mm-hmm. From the moment she got out of my car to the moment we got home, she did not stop talking.
Remember Jackie was saying that, too? It's the 30-minute drive.
Did not. Like, and it wasn't annoying or anything. I was just amazed of how much she was talking and how much of a conversation she was having.
She's 5, right?
She's 5. Mm-hmm. And, like, she told me everything about everything. And, like, those time. And I was like, uh-huh. Oh, okay. I was just going, like, oh, really? And she was like, yeah. And then my mommy and my daddy and my brother. And I was just like, oh, my God. I understand Jackie now. Like, you know? But it makes such a big difference. Such a huge difference. I see them the same and they look the same. And I'm like, my child is just a baby. Like, she's a 4-year-old. And I always see her, like, she's big because she's so tall.
So in a year, Krista won't stop talking.
I guess. Anyway, that was me. What did you do?
Oh my God, I don't even know what to. That's crazy.
Crazy. I was a very intense weekend.
I guess my weekend was kind of exciting too-ish. We went to San Diego. We went to the outlets.
I was waiting for you to say that.
We went to buy some more G-Star for my husband. He's like obsessed now that he found this G-Star outlet. And they went to San Diego and spent the weekend there. And I think when he told me, he's like, yeah, we're going to, I'm like, cool. And then I realized this is the first time we're going to take in the baby, like, and sleep somewhere else.
How did that go? I've always wondered because, you know.
It went great.
Really?
I mean, so his sister gave us a crib and we put him, and I thought we were going to sleep in the same room, but like my husband started to put the crib in a different room.
What?
And I was like, oh. Well, I guess that makes sense because he has his own room. Yeah. So he needs his own space. And, you know, we took his bathtub with us.
That's good.
And it was so funny leaving the house as we were leaving, we were picking up stuff, right? And then I see my husband walking out with a bathtub, and I'm like, what? He's like, well, yeah, he needs his bathtub. And I was like, yeah, that makes sense. So we, you know, same time, you know, we bathed him. My husband bathed him. And we took his comforter. We took his, you know, his little Mr. Fox. We call mm-hmm. him little, like, lovey. And his storybook, because he has to see the book.
Yeah.
And we read him a story and he went to sleep.
The monitor.
You know, if my husband wanted to take the monitor and then I said no. That's because I didn't know he was going to leave him in a different room.
I was like, what? You didn't take a monitor?
No, so I didn't take the monitor. But, you know, it was fine. I just kept creeping in here and there. But, so here's, I just changed diapers. I used to use Honest, mm-hmm. but they do not work overnight.
No.
Like, they suck.
They do.
So, for the past week and a half, he's been waking up like at 2:30 soaked in pee.
Oh.
And I, you know, we tried different things. It didn't work. And that's it. That's, he woke up at 2:30, mm-hmm. but he was like, and I felt so bad. I was like, forget this diapers, never again. And I just bought the seventh generation overnight. They're still organic and stuff because I kind of want to do the organic route or whatever. And they work great. So that for the past 3 nights, he hasn't been woken up soaked in piss. But he woke up, and just because, you know, he was with pee. And I felt so bad. Mm-hmm. So then that's when it kind of disrupted everything. You know, he was crying and I was like, honey, it's okay. And then, and I tried to put him back down and he wouldn't have it. And then I brought him to bed with us, but he won't sleep with us. And then my husband's like, do you think I just give him a bottle? I'm like, no, he doesn't need to eat. He can't sleep.
Yeah.
He was like, I'll just give him a bottle. I'm like, no. So I went in the other room with him and I stayed in the bed in the other room with him. This little man took over the entire bed. He took the comforter with him. And I'm in a little corner, freezing my ass off, right? And
welcome he's to
like,
my life.
Hold on. And he's like in, you know, he's like all stretched out. And then he's like over my arm. And he finally fell asleep, but I'm cold because he has a comforter, right? And I don't want, I'm going to take the comforter away from my child. So then I'm like, I can't go to the other room to get the extra comforter because if I do, I'll wake him up. So I pretty much froze the entire night after 2 a.m. until
motherhood.
Until 6 he woke up. And then, you know, then it was fine. But I mean, you know. I think as long as I keep his Mr. Fox and his comforter.
That's good.
And the storybook, like, he's good. So that was good that he's left. But yeah.
I always wonder how that was going to happen for you. Because, you know, he's so used to sleeping.
And
there.
On the next day after he ate, you know, he has his 7:30 a.m. breakfast. And then at 8 o'clock, he takes his, you know, his nap. We put him in the he took like a 2 hour nap.
Wow.
And I was like, yeah, that's because you didn't let me sleep last night. But yeah, it worked.
That was good.
Yeah, it worked. Good. His sister, we were going to take the travel crib, but his sister has one over there. Yeah. So we just used that one.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's what I did last time too. The crib makes it.
Yeah.
Huge difference.
Huge difference.
But so yeah. Take a crib with you, ladies.
Well. So today we have a great show, you guys. We have Madre Luz here. I know we asked you guys to do some questions. Mm-hmm. You asked, we answered. I think we should do more of these, huh? What do you guys think?
I know, that was fun.
What do you guys think? Let us know. Write us up. What do you guys think about this week's format? I liked it.
Yeah. We got a lot of feedback. Thank you,
so,
ladies.
So we're going to try to do more of these. Maybe next time we'll do a ask us anything kind of situation between you and me, like ask us stuff and then we answer. Okay, guys, well, when we come back,
we'll have Madre Luz here with us and she's gonna answer all of our questions about midwifery, breastfeeding, C-sections, natural birth, 40 placenta days, placenta, etc., etc., etc.
All right, guys,
stay tuned, we'll be back.
We're back.
Hi, we're back.
And we have Lauren French here.
Hi, Lauren.
Hello.
Thank you so much for coming to my home.
No, this is just really exciting for me because I'm so glad to see that you guys are doing this because moms need serious support.
Tell me about it. Yeah, I think we need more than support.
I know. We need a lot of things.
We need extra hands.
But what we need is all this information that you guys are giving and, you know, and support, and that even though it's called Super Mamas, the Super Mama is not a mom that can do everything.
But we try. Yeah, we try.
But we try to, you know, to do our best. And that's what's important. And that's what our kids expect, too. Yes. They don't expect perfection.
They don't?
I don't think it's crazy. Like, you know, when you were younger, like, you didn't really... We're so selfish when you're little, you know? You're like, my mom doesn't do this. And you never did this, mom. And you're like, wait till you have your kids.
We try.
Yeah, but you know what? Now that I have boys that are older, my one son's about turned 17 and the other one 20. And, you know, it takes that long for them to get it.
Yeah, I know.
But
now
they do. They do appreciate. They appreciate everything we do. And, you know, recently my younger son said, you know, I'm really glad that you're a midwife. Before, he used to be like, why can't you make more money? Nothing to take us places. And now he's like, no, it's a great thing.
What yeah, you yeah ladies. So. There's a light at the end of the tunnel. We're so excited because... We posted your picture and on our Instagram and our Facebook page and our private group, and we got a ton of responses and we have a ton of questions for you.
That's great.
We have so many questions that we won't get to all of them, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But we're going to get to the ones that were asked the most. And thank you to all the Super Mama sisters out there who, you know, commented and asked your questions, because this show is for you guys. We get information because my sister and I are not professionals.
We are not.
I've given birth once. She's given birth twice. So, but how many babies have you delivered, more or less? Madre Luz. I'm going to call you Madre Luz, okay?
Yeah.
Lauren, from now on. Just so you know.
One thing that we say in midwifery is that we don't deliver, because midwives, you guys are the one, moms are the ones that do all the work. So what we do is we receive the babies and we're there to support you and to accompany women throughout this journey, because it's a journey, right? Mm-hmm. The pregnancy, the birth and postpartum. How many? Gosh, I've attended how many births? And also when I was in my journey to become a midwife and as a principal midwife, I should have this number, and I don't know, over 100, 150, something like that. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It's an amazing job. I mean, it's really hard work.
Yeah.
I encourage anybody to do it if they can. And I'm a home birth center midwife. So that means we're on call. We don't have shifts. Mm-hmm. And, but being in that space where a baby is born, it's a serious privilege. It really is.
So what, okay, here's another question, because I didn't really know what a midwife was. So what is a midwife?
Yeah, actually I think the word means with woman or with wife, something like that. And so, yeah, the idea is that midwives were
That's
trained.
My neighbor's dog. Yeah. Close my window.
We're trained, to believe and trust in the process of birth. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, we're also trained to attend emergencies. Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. So there's different types of midwives. Here in the U.S., there's a nurse midwife that they do, their main training is to become a nurse, and then they do a specialty to become a midwife.
Oh.
And then I'm a certified professional midwife, and so our training is pure midwifery. And so depending on what state you live in the U.S., because there's still a lot of states where it's illegal to be a midwife.
Really?
What?
Like
what?
You can't even get a midwife. Or you always can, because there's always midwives working like under the radar.
Underground midwifery?
Yeah.
That sounds
but
like
there's
a club.
Midwives that, you know, that were totally illegal in many states still. Yeah, it's scary.
Here in the United States.
Yeah, in the U.S. And Mexico, where I'm living, although I am going to move here in January.
You live in Oaxaca, right?
I live in Oaxaca.
So you're sort of like a paisana.
I am.
By extension.
I am.
You are Oaxacan.
I am. Más chapulín que otra cosa, no? But in Mexico, too, it's a problem because we have a lot of traditional midwives.
Yeah.
Which supposedly they have legality to work because of like a traditional medical worker law, mm-hmm. Although they don't get support from the government, of course, especially in the remote villages. But also there's not a really good system of certification. So we're struggling with that in Mexico as well. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's
very interesting.
Yeah. So we have a professional midwife, which is what I am. We do academic degree, either in a college or here you can go through apprenticeship model as well. And then you do practicum where you're just, you know, you're practicing with clients and with a supervising midwife.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I was talking to you when we first met and I was telling you, it's just the whole idea of birth has changed so much over the years. And now I think we are all, that was my case, you know,
yeah,
we are all like trained to think that it's a procedure,
right?
That it's a medical procedure,
right?
Like, you know, like I didn't really know much about it. And I was like, well, I'm going to go in the hospital. I'm going to lay down. I'm going to push and I'm going to have my baby, you know, right. Like all that. And that's what you are like reading about. And you're like, you know, you don't really know about this other, the alternatives there are.
Right.
I was very lucky that.
Which is, hold on, let me go, stop you, because what you're doing is alternative. Like the normal way,
right.
The midwifery. It's so weird that you would call midwifery alternative.
Yes.
When in reality, the medical is mm-hmm. the alternative.
Yeah, which is interesting because now that we're looking at, you know, the midwives, we're doing our own studies, or I do research as well. And what we're looking at is most of the traditional midwifery mm-hmm. that we see in Mexico and with the indigenous midwives, a lot of that is scientifically evidence-based.
Oh, wow.
And the things that they're doing are, you know, there's a reason behind it. That they didn't have studies at the time. The herbs that they're using are the base of many of the medications that, you know, that they use in the hospitals. Mm-hmm. So that's interesting. And also with the more and more technology that's mm-hmm. being introduced into the birth world, we're not seeing better outcomes.
Yeah.
So just because more and more technology, you know, it's not like more women are surviving or even doing better or their babies. We're finding that that's not the case. So it's better actually to go back to natural births and there's better outcomes.
Right.
So I think, you know, as I was telling you, I think it's either that people think it's a procedure or they have these images on TV or everywhere that there's like all this screaming and like, you know, like, and it's just like fear.
Yeah.
I was scared, you know, I didn't know. I was scared. And I think it's just fear. And nowadays we've been listening from like people that have had natural births, home births, that it's like this amazing, sometimes even painless orgasmic experience. I'm like, what? what is that even? Is that true?
Can you have an orgasm when you have a baby?
Like you can do
see,
that.
That's gonna be happening next.
There's not that many women that do that. But what I can say is that, you know, a lot of people talk about, you know, oh, you should have anesthesia, epidural mm-hmm. or C-section because why would you want to suffer?
Yeah.
But all the women that I've attended, because we attend natural births, we don't give anesthesia. It's hard. It's serious hard work. Mm-hmm. They go through a lot emotionally, but no one has ever said that they were suffering.
Okay.
You know, it's hard and they get through it. And then it's the most amazing thing on earth because it's so empowering.
Yeah.
When they can do it, because then they can do anything.
Yeah.
I mean, really, it's just this like, I did that. I can do anything.
Yeah.
So that's a great thing. And it's a great thing when the partner's there, when other kids are there, because then they say like mom or wife or partner.
Kids, really?
Yeah. Kids, wow. Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, some kids love being there.
Really?
Because it's like then they get to see like it's almost there. It's more of a connection.
Yeah.
It's like I saw you when the moment you were born. It's amazing. Yeah.
I would never even think of having my kid there.
Yeah. And usually if kids don't want to be there, they'll sleep through.
It will give you like more strength as a mom watching your child. And it reminds you of like when you had your first child and bringing someone else for them, and just kind of, it would be a really good way of just like, you know, just locking your energy into something else and not focusing on what, you know,
Yeah.
And I mean, yeah, some moms, like, I need to have my my child there, or some moms are like, you know, during labor, it's kind of crazy. But if somebody's there that can be with their child and then bring the child in, like, right before when I'm pushing or something like that. I mean, really, it's for some children, it's just, you know, it's a connection that is for life. Wow. That's really strong.
For sure. I mean, yeah. I just feel like, you know, I was in the birth of my best friends, the first two kids, and it's just the connection that her and I have just went beyond, you know. Yeah. Like, my sister has been with me on my births, and I think it's because it's such a vulnerable moment that whoever's there, it just really means something to you, you know. It's
you need to choose wisely.
Yeah.
Right?
Who so you're going to have. So let's get to these questions right away, because we're going to talk for
I know. There's a million things to talk
about.
It's
okay. So one of the questions that we're asking, and kind of what we were talking about, our friend asked, what was the best positions to have the baby in? Or how to, you know, avoid induction, and how do you, mm-hmm. you know, how do you not make it hurt?
I don't know if I can explain that one. But position-wise, as a midwife where, you know, we don't use anesthesia and so forth, what we do is we give you liberty to choose the position. Mm-hmm. So, and that's going to vary from woman to woman, and it's going to vary in the moment. I mean, one of the things that we do normally when we get to such home birth or in birth center birth is, you know, I have a tray, and then I put all my instruments and herbs and things that I need in the moment of the birth. And then when we get close, you know, I'm just kind of following around the mom depending on where she's going to be, because she might be in the bathroom, or she might be in the birth tub, or she might be, you know, pulling a rope from the ceiling. I mean, you know, it's whatever she wants in that moment. And that's going to depend on the position of the baby. It's going to depend on what hurts the most, right? Mm-hmm. And what is really effective when she's pushing. Normally, what we see is that the positions where you're using gravity are way easier. Mm-hmm. Right. When you're lying down and your coccyx goes up and the space to push your baby out is smaller,
right,
it's going to be more work. So very few women choose lying down when they don't have anesthesia. And so what we see normally are moms that are on all fours, maybe sitting in birth tub. They can be standing. Or like with a supported squat, either with a partner.
That's what you did. That's what I did. Supported squat.
Right. And did you choose that in the end?
Yeah. I think the first one that I tried was all fours.
Okay.
And then I felt awkward.
Yeah.
Like, I was just like, I don't know about this one.
It's less control maybe? Or what do you think?
I don't know. I just felt awkward. Okay. And then they lied me down. And then I was like, hell to the no, I'm laying down. So then I did a supporting squat, my husband on one side, my mom on the other.
Okay, nice.
And it was like 20 minutes.
Yeah. It's one of the positions that opens up the pelvis. And so it's very helpful. And you need to really have somebody that you can hang on to so you can loosen up below and just, you know, push, you know, the hardest you can, depending. I mean, some moms, you know, the baby's coming out so quickly that we almost try to slow it down a little bit. So it will depend on the situation. But a lot of times, first time moms, you have to give some serious strength to those pushes. So those are kind of the positions that are more likely when a mom chooses. Mm-hmm.
And any tips on like how to avoid induction and how to, you know, I know there's a lot
natural
of women
induction.
Natural. I know a lot of women are, you know, kind of like under 40th week and they're like, get this baby out of me. Like they can't like walk anymore. My knees hurt. Like,
I know. It's hard in the end for some people. So one of the biggest things we need to remember, a term baby or a baby that is mature enough to be born is between 37 weeks up to 42.
Yeah.
Okay. So some physicians want the baby to come out before then, and the baby's not ready. The last thing that matures in a baby are the baby's lungs. Mm-hmm. So what we find now, especially with programmed C-sections, are they're doing the C-section early, like at 40 weeks, and then the baby has problems, respiratory problems.
Last time we met, you were talking about the difference because some women have irregular periods. Can mm-hmm. you share that with our listeners?
Yeah, it's going to depend also, you know, there's so many factors, right? Mm-hmm. We don't know exactly when you're going to deliver. I mean, that's the secret code that nobody seems to know. And so, and it also will depend on your cycle. Mm-hmm. So if you have a long cycle, you know, it's not, the norm is 28 days, mm-hmm. but it varies for many people. So if it's longer, you know, your chances that it might be that you'll deliver a little bit on the later side are more likely.
Okay.
Yeah. So it depends on, you know, many different factors. I mean, when you try to figure it out, you can look at your cycle, you can look how long it is. You can look at if you know when conception is. A lot of women know when they actually got pregnant, mm-hmm. either because they were trying to get pregnant or they were just like, you know, I knew the moment that got pregnant.
I did.
I did too. With my second
you did?
Baby. Yeah. Uh-huh. The second one. Yeah.
Okay. In Oaxaca, in the villages, you count, you look at what the moon was like when you got pregnant that day. And then you count 10 of those moons later. And that's your due date.
Wow.
Yeah. I know.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's all sorts of ways. But the main thing is, I think, for to avoid induction is to have lots of patience. Lots of
not
patience.
Not the answer I was looking for.
I know. Because we're really pushing it.
Yeah.
And when the baby's not ready and your body's not ready, then it's going to be a long, long birth. And sometimes it doesn't work.
I heard somewhere that they were saying that the baby determines when they when he or she wants to be born.
Yeah, right? Your baby determines, and then the message goes up to the brain, and the brain sends to the body to change your hormone cocktail.
Really?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah, the baby decides, it's like, okay, I'm ready.
Yeah, like my lungs are ready, I'm ready, mm-hmm. let's do it. And that's one of the nice things that I like to say is that
sweet.
It is sweet.
Yeah.
And that you're not alone when you're in birth. Your baby is doing half the work. Your baby does a spiral to get out.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And so, you know, the mom's job is to relax, let go, and then your baby knows and wants to come out.
I think that's the biggest thing that we don't do. We do not relax because we're so scared.
Yeah.
That's what happened to me. I was so scared that I just tightened up my body and then the baby wasn't ready.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fear is probably the biggest issue.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens with fear is that our bodies close up with fear.
Yeah.
And so it makes it more painful. It makes it longer and more difficult to open up and dilate.
Yeah.
So probably that theme is our biggest topic as midwives in our prenatal care and in our classes. Like, what are you fearful of? Like, a lot of times if you express it, like your worst fears possible, if you express it and you figure out like, oh, okay, well, if that happens, I could probably live with that. You know, when it just comes out and you're not holding it in, you know, and so we spend probably most of our prenatal time on these issues, on the emotional issues, because most women can give birth physically. It's not, mm-hmm. it's rarely a physical issue.
That's very important because I think nowadays we spend very little time more on emotional journey on pregnancy.
Yeah.
And we focus on our physical.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
I think what helped me with that, because I researched a bunch, but I read a book that was called Childbirth Without Fear.
Yes.
And that book helped me so much. In the beginning, I read it like, I think like my second trimester, and it started preparing me like, oh, then I have to let go of this fear that I have. Like, what am I afraid of? Like what you said, it's right. sort of like, and I looked at Beyonce video where she said, like how she prepared for her birth and how she kept telling herself, well, like, this is what my body was meant to do. So am I afraid of? Like, this is like as normal as like going to the bathroom or as normal as breathing. Like, and I didn't know that about the baby, you know, channeling to your brain and then your brain sending a form.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, you know, it's believing in the process. you know, trusting that your body knows what to do. And when it gets a little bit out of whack, normally your body knows how to adjust. And so with what we need is time. And a lot of times in the hospitals, yeah, you're, as soon as you get there, you're on the clock. So one of the things about induction is that I really recommend that you stay at home as long as possible.
Yeah.
You know, it's really important because once you get there, they're looking at the clock.
And do you have any tips on like maybe how to help with patients, like meditation or stretches or anything that we can do when we get to that point, like to that 38th week, 40th week mark that we as women can do at home that can help us be more patient?
Yes. And I do think it's important because, you know, most of us are working women, that you don't wait till you get to 38 weeks, because to be like, I'm, you know, running around full speed all the time, I'm a mother or I'm a first time mother, I'm working, I'm doing this, I'm a partner, and then all of a sudden I need to relax and chill out, and I don't know how to do that.
Yeah.
And so that's why as soon as you possibly can in pregnancy, take advantage. You know, I'm hoping to start like a prenatal group circle, because I think going to those as well and like letting go and talking with the other women and seeing that, you know, there's a lot of people that are going through the same things are helpful. Mm-hmm. Meditation is a great practice. You need to start earlier than the third trimester. Even if you don't, then start then. But, you know, start as early as you can. Mm-hmm. Yoga is a great thing to do, and you can do that at home. I mean, you can even look on YouTube. There's tons of free classes. Yeah. You can do that at home. And then choose a provider that is somebody that's going to support you through these things. Yeah, which is really important. Not just like, you know, okay, get on a table like you said. And push.
That's the worst. Okay, so another question that we had from our listeners was about C-sections and having, well, one, how to avoid a C-section, and two, how to, if I can have a natural, not even say natural, a vaginal birth?
Vaginal.
Vaginal. Vaginal.
Vaginal.
That one. Birth after a C-section.
Yes. That is a great question, and almost always you can. There are some sort of incisions. The normal incision, especially in places like Los Angeles, and is a lower transverse incision. And so that is fine for a
lower transverse
incision. The what they call the classical incision is a vertical incision, goes straight up.
Okay.
And so those are a little bit dangerous. The issue with a C-section that they talk about is the concern for uterine rupture. Mm-hmm. Although when you look at the risk for uterine rupture, it's really only a tiny bit more risky than for a first-time mom that hasn't even given birth. So before it was like, no, nobody can do that. You can't do, it's going to be C-section for every child. And now what we're seeing is that really the risks are very, very low.
Okay.
And if the woman is successful and has a vaginal birth after C-section, it's actually much safer for her and the baby.
Oh.
So it is, and it the Academy of Gynecologists Obstetricians, they are saying now, because before they weren't, that they do support a regular trial of labor, is what they call it, for a vaginal birth.
Wow.
Yeah. And also, these are moms that, a lot of them, that can choose to do a home birth or a birth center birth. It's important that their births can't be induced, because that might put too much strain on the uterus. Oh, that the reason for the first cesarean, that when they're pregnant again, that it was a non-recurring type of reason that they had the C-section. For example, if their baby was breech, like, you know, butt down, then likely that's not going to happen again. So their second baby, there's no reason why they would need to have a C-section, right?
Okay. Have you delivered breech babies?
I assisted physician.
Sorry, there's delivered.
Yeah, there is a fantastic physician here in Los Angeles, Dr. Fishbon, and I worked with him at the sanctuary with a great group of midwives, and he delivers in the home twins and breeches.
What?
Because now what we're seeing is that, you know, the only reason why they're doing C-sections for a lot of these babies, I mean, it depends on the exact position and so forth, is because people aren't trained anymore. Mm-hmm. But it's actually safer for mom and baby if you have an experienced practitioner. Wow. So, yeah.
We need to get his information.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, of course, you know, as traditional midwife, you know, and some physicians, you know, we try to help move the baby.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Which normally the baby will move.
Yeah. And I'm sure you have a lot of tips for that.
Yeah. Whole list. Upside down, in the water, little bell talking to your baby down below, like all sorts of stuff. Yeah.
Well, that's great to know about the C-sections. And I guess any tips for first-time moms that are afraid of, like, maybe avoiding C-section? Because I know that was one of my main concerns. I was like, I want to avoid.
Me too.
You know? Right, right. You know, it's important that you're asking your provider the C-section rate. You know, because there's a lot of, you know, this is also in Mexico, because, you know, in Mexico now we have, let's see, it's 50% C-section rate.
Wow.
Is the norm. But if you're with a private physician, it's 80 to 90%.
Wow. I would never thought that it would happen
so
in Mexico.
Bad. Yeah. It's a major crisis. So really most women have C-sections.
Yeah.
So, well, yeah. So we're seeing a lot of women down there. For the midwives, we're seeing and doing VBACs, the vaginal birth after C-section, because mm-hmm. they don't do VBACs either, the physicians there. So these women are having C-section and C-section and C-section, and especially in the states like Oaxaca, where they have lots of babies.
Yeah.
So
have a lot of babies.
Yeah. Yep. And that's dangerous.
Yeah.
You know, it's abdominal surgery. I mean, you guys didn't have C-sections, but I'm sure you have friends that did. And
yeah.
It's a hard recovery.
Hard.
Yeah.
I think the recovery was my biggest fear.
Yeah.
Having a C-section. But like, it's now seen as like a normal thing.
Yeah. And hopefully we can change that. So, you know, staying at home as long as possible, trying to avoid interventions, because once they start medication or once they start anesthesia, you're much more likely to have a C-section. You know, having somebody, not just your main provider, healthcare provider, but also having somebody with you that knows about natural birth and is there to support you. So whether that's, you know, your mom that has had, you know, all of her births mm-hmm. that were natural and she's supportive, or it's a doula, you know, that can help you in that, or a midwife, you know, because it's hard when maybe you're going just with your partner.
Yeah.
They don't know what they're doing. You don't know what you're doing. Yeah. And then most women get to the point where they're like, I'm tired of this.
Yeah.
I don't want to do this anymore. Whatever you need to do, figure it out, but I'm done. Yeah. And if you have somebody that can get you through those moments, then you can, you know, then you can probably have a natural birth. Exercising, those positions, all those things. But I find really it's trying to stay at home as long as possible and having somebody that can help you through those moments.
Wow.
Yeah. Support. And preparing.
So let's talk about what happens after we have the baby. Okay. We've had this incredible journey. Didn't hurt. Yeah. We popped it out in 20 seconds.
Had an orgasm.
Had an orgasm, exactly. And now the baby's home. And then I don't have any milk and he won't latch.
Yeah. First of all, I think it's important to know that it's a learning experience, brand new for both you guys. So baby needs to learn, mom needs to learn, and everybody's tired.
Yeah.
You know, so.
And my nipples are bleeding.
And your nipples don't feel so good. So, you know, once again, I mean, latch is the critical thing, you know, and, you know, this part you might have to suffer a little bit through a nipple spur, you know, because most people, if they don't have something sucking on their yeah. breasts 24 hours a day, yep. it's going to be something a little
unless
bit
unless you're
new.
Married to my husband. I'm kidding, everybody.
Some women prepare their breasts a little bit.
How do you prepare your breasts?
Husbands,
I don't know. Yeah, maybe. The thing is that when you get closer in your third trimester, uh-huh. one of the things that actually this is an induction question that we help to try to get contractions going is nipple stimulation. So you need to be a little bit careful if all of a sudden, you know, either your husband's doing it or you're just trying to do it, it might cause contractions. Oh. So you have to be a little bit careful about that. But I mean, some people, like in Oaxaca, they always talk about, you know, using like a, you know, I don't know, like a rag or not, obviously something clean, and just kind of making them tougher okay. and harder
yeah,
so
yeah,
that
yeah.
when your baby starts latching all the time, that it's not as painful. I, you know, there's no scientific evidence behind that. Mm.
I believe everything like Oaxacan women say.
Yeah, I know.
To me, that's scientific enough.
Yeah, exactly. So that's something that you could try. But yeah, the latch is the most important thing. So, I mean, the basics of breastfeeding, when you have your baby, you need to make sure that you're relaxed. Right?
Oh, again.
Again with the relaxing.
I know. Because it's true. Baby. You know, yeah. oxytocin, which is known as the hormone of love, uh-huh. that's the hormone that you find when you're making love, when you're having a baby, and when you're breastfeeding.
Okay. Oh,
and
okay.
so, and it helps the milk flow.
Okay.
So if you're just completely stressed out, have no support whatsoever, everybody's like, give a bottle. What are you doing?
Which is mostly the case.
Right.
Everybody's stressed. Everybody's tired.
Right.
You know?
So you need somebody there. You talk with your partner before, like, okay, I need support through this. When it's hard, I need you to be like, okay, what can I do? I'm going to give me shoulder massage, you know, keep your back warm. That's something in traditional midwifery that we always say it's really important. You know, use tons of pillows so that you're not trying to hold your baby up and your shoulders and everything. I do like those kind of pillows have the ones that around. Tie in the back.
The
I find a
breast
way,
friend.
Yeah. There's
well,
a bunch
I had
of different
one that was
brands.
Called breast friend.
Yeah. I think that those are helpful. And you want to make sure that your baby is in the level of your breasts. Right. Mm-hmm. And that when your baby's is tummy to tummy. Right. That's one of the basics that mm-hmm. your baby's not trying to eat with his head like turned the other way.
OK.
And then the nose, baby's nose to your nipple. That's basically the position. And then you can massage your breasts a little bit to get, you know, the milk flowing and or the colostrum in I was going to say in principio. No. OK. in the beginning. And then when the baby usually touches with his or her lips, your nipple, he will automatically open his mouth wide. And that's the moment that you need to bring him towards you quickly. And so that he takes as much as the areola as possible. Because what you don't want to do is have baby that's just trying to suction on the nipple.
Yeah.
Because the nipple's not where the milk is. Needs to suction around, be as deep as possible, so the nipple is actually far back in its mouth.
You gotta choke him with your nipple.
Well, it's kind of the same thing with the bottle. You know, they put it all the way in.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, you that know? Makes sense.
Yeah.
The first time that I had the baby, the position that I really like was the football hold.
Uh-huh.
That one worked for me.
Yeah.
A lot.
I think it's good to try different holds. There's great stuff on the internet. You can look, you know, people going through exactly like different positions. Sometimes when your nipples are sore, you can change positions mm-hmm. and it works better.
Okay.
There's a new one. I don't even know what it's called, but it's like the natural breastfeeding that they're really talking about now. That is just like you lying back on bed and your baby's on top of you. And some women really like that
really?
And they find that great. I really try to encourage mom to learn how to breastfeed lying down at least side to side.
Yeah.
So that you
I
can.
I never learned that one.
My gosh,
you never learned
my mom
that?
Told me
I
that
can't.
For my first baby. She was like, you need to learn. And she told my best friend. So he tells everybody, my mom tells everybody, like,
you
need
have
to
learn. That.
And I learned, and it was, I think that's one of the main reasons why I didn't have any problems at night, like sleeping.
Yeah.
Because I would just grab my baby. Yeah.
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 And baby's breastfeeding and you're snoozing.
Yeah.
And it's my goal always is like, how do we get the family to sleep more?
Yeah.
And so that's why I do like co-sleeping if it works for you guys, you know, because the idea is that you stay in bed, you know, the baby will just start to move and you're like, oh, okay, baby needs to eat. Just move the scoot the baby next to you and then baby will learn to start breastfeeding and then you can sleep. Yeah.
Thank you. That makes me feel good. Okay. About my choices.
Okay. Let's take a break, you guys. And when we come back, we have more of Madre Luz.
We will. We'll come back. Thank you. So much to talk about.
I know we didn't get through some. We didn't get through, but we're gonna have to have a part two.
Yes,
we're gonna have to have a Mother Luz part two. You have to come back.
Oh, I'd love Lauren.
Well, she's coming. I'd love to. She's coming soon.
You're moving to LA, so you're gonna be like, or go to midwifery person.
That's right. Yeah. No, I would love that.
That'd I'm highly great. Considering
because we didn't even talk about the placenta encapsulation.
I know.
We didn't talk about the difference between midwife and doula.
Yep.
You know, there's so many different things
here.
40 day care,
which I do actually the traditional postpartum herbal baths. I guess
great. Okay, so. I'm gonna call you. So let's have a little some of our super mama picks and tips of the week. I'll go first because I already kind of know what I'm gonna have, which I mentioned earlier. So my pick is a book, which is by Grantley. I'm gonna see if I say his name correctly because you know. I'm Latina and I can pronounce these things. Grantley Dick Reed. Oh, yeah, I did it. Dick Reed. And the name of his book is Childbirth Without Fear. And that's the book I spoke about earlier. It's a huge book. And I'm going to be honest with you, ladies. I only read like a third of it because I was like, okay, you're too big book. But the third that I did read was super helpful. And it kind of jumped me off to like a really good delivery because I kind of let go of the fears that I had. And then afterwards I read the other book that I had already shared on my birth story episode. That was Active Birth by Janet Velasquez, I think was her name. So
she's great.
Her book is incredible.
Yeah,
that's the book I read, and that was like my little Bible. Like I carried it everywhere. And I went to the night, I was like, when we left to the hospital, I was like, get the book. So but yeah, that's my pick.
That's a good tip. Or a pick. Well, we were talking about the difficulties of breastfeeding. And I guess I'm going to share with you a tip about learning to breastfeed laying down that really worked for me. But the second thing that I'm going to say is I also had a lot of difficulties with the production of milk and my babies were losing weight. And so what I did both times was use a Medela supplemental nursing system, which is a little tube that you tape to your nipple, and it has like a, you tie the bottle around your neck, and then there's a little tube that goes and you tape it on your nipple. So the baby, when you're, you know, having to feed your baby either your own milk or formula, both your nipple and the little tube go into the baby. So the baby is eating and stimulating your breast at the same time. And I found that the best thing that it just helped me so much because I felt so bad for not being able to feed my baby the way I wanted. But that really helped me because the baby was still stimulating my nipple and eating, which was great. And it worked, and I totally recommend it. And it was bonding, and I felt, I felt better. You know, I just felt more relaxed, and I didn't feel like guilty. And you know, I just felt better that they were both on my nipples. And I totally recommend that to people out there. Again, it's the Medela Supplemental Nursing System, and if you are having problems, you should buy it. You can get it on Amazon. So. That's
we
my
buy
tip.
Everything at Amazon in this family.
It's true. Because we don't have time, right? We don't have time to go anywhere, so it comes to your door.
We don't have time.
Mother Luz, what are your 100 tips? You have so many tips.
I know. I have tons of tips. I actually send out a newsletter, so send me your emails, and I do include tips on my newsletter, too. But I was thinking...
What is your email?
My email is info@madreluz.com.
Perfect.
Yeah. And I do have website, motherluz.com. And I was thinking about, you know, to people ask about increasing supply of milk, and there are things to do, including, I mean, the latch is the most important, and support. And other than that, and one of the things a lot of gals do is they drink in Oaxaca atole de ajonjolí, you know, sesame atole.
Which is really yummy.
And then also one of the herb that I find, and also there's a lot of research behind it that works the best when you really need to increase supply, is fenugreek.
Yeah.
So that is just really helpful. And then I find that a lot of times, just because the mom needs to relax a little bit for it to flow. And so I recommend teas of passion flower and chamomile.
Passion flower and chamomile. That one I didn't know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you can drink, well, the dark beer, which you talked about, that is helpful, which can increase supply. And also you can soak barley in water overnight and then use that water and make a fennel tea. That's also helpful for breastfeeding. Yeah.
Those are great things that you're hitting every angle, fennel, barley.
Yeah, and it helps also if fennel is great for your stomach, upset stomach. Mm-hmm. So these are all things that you don't need to give directly to your baby. Like if you have a colicky kind of whiny baby, you know, but if you're breastfeeding and you're drinking those teas, those will be going through also the breast milk, which will be helpful as
fennel.
Well.
Fennel, perfect.
Yeah.
Before we start saying your goodbyes, can we talk about the placenta encapsulation real quick?
Yes.
Because that was one of the questions, and I want to make sure I hit that for our listener.
Yes. Placentas are amazing. They're the only organ that is shared by two people.
Yeah.
I wish I would have kept mine. I wanted to plant a tree, and it never worked out.
Yeah. That's kind of the tradition in Mexico is that they bury it, plant it under something. But, you know, what we find is that almost all mammals eat their placentas, except for us. Yeah. So, and what's the reason behind it is because it is just filled with nutrition. And so what people are promoting now is that, you know, women eat it in the postpartum period. And actually you can, you know, if it's dehydrated or put into tincture, it can even last later on for when you go through menopause. Because there's tons of hormones, there's tons of iron, there's tons of everything. So it balances your hormones in the postpartum period. Uh-huh. So you remember postpartum when it's kind of like the beginning of pregnancy, like everything's great and then everything sucks and then everything's great and then you're crying and it's good. And it helps.
That's the story of the woman's life.
It's true. It helps a lot in that period. You know, of course, there's blood loss, normal blood loss in birth. And so there's tons of iron in the placenta. So I do really recommend it. And I know it's really expensive for somebody to do it. So either figure out online how to dehydrate yourself if you can't afford it. Or I normally clean it and give my mom's little pieces to take right after birth.
What?
And then tell people, you just swallow it like a pill. And then you cut it up. Yeah, seriously. You can cut it up and like put it in like little ice cube tray, stick it in your freezer, and then throw it into smoothies.
Oh my God.
You don't taste it.
Oh, you don't taste it.
Wow. I know it's kind of scary when you first hear about it, but it's just so nutritious.
You know, it's like everything nowadays. It's like
You're like that. I don't know.
But it totally makes sense.
I just feel like I just wasted a perfectly great thing.
I know. But you didn't know.
Two. I wasted two.
You didn't know. Next
because
time.
Because they throw it away, right?
Yeah.
They throw it.
They throw it away, or what they do is they sell it. Yeah, because it's used in shampoos and it's used in so many things. And so some hospitals are selling it. Yeah, it's not good. And now that you guys know, and, you know, next babies, because it's, you know, it's that was an important thing for your baby.
Now, I have a question. Can, like, is it only good for mothers? Or, like, can my husband have some?
Yes, your husband can have.
My friend ate his wife's placenta.
Yeah.
A lot of people do that, right?
Yeah, they do.
Wow.
So yeah, we can talk about that. I know people here that do it. And so if you're looking for somebody, I can give out some numbers. I don't have them here.
Get in contact with Mother Luz. You know,
so much good
she
stuff.
She has so much information. info@motherluz.com.
Yes.
Please get in contact with her. Her website, motherluz.com. You can find it in Spanish and English. Also, you can find Paulina and I on our website, supermamaspodcast.com, where we'll be posting all the links to your website, to everything that we talked about today, pictures.
You can she shared with us some amazing videos, and we will put them there for you guys.
Yeah, that can help you and teach you how to latch. So much information. Thank you, Lauren.
Thank you so much for having me. We definitely have to do a second, a part two.
Part two.
We definitely have another loose part two. I feel like we don't have enough time to talk about. I know.
There's a ton to talk about. And
we'll do a part two. And then if people ask questions,
we
can, you know, send us questions about it. You guys, don't forget to follow us on Instagram.
_supermamas.
And your Facebook page.
Supermamas Podcast.
And our close group.
Our close group, it's supermamas! Exclamation point. But we do have a direct link from our website. If you go under contact us, there's a little girl with a cape. Click on her and she will take you straight to our close group.
I wanted to mention that when I get here, I'm hoping to do some classes on postpartum. Perfect. So that, you know, moms can learn about these things before they have their babies. And also probably a prenatal group. So if you guys are interested in that as well, just send me an email.
Oh, for sure. And we'll keep you guys updated with everything. Mother Luz just joined our closed group as well. Yes. So she'll be in there, you know, so hit her up, ask questions. And it makes me want to go and make a baby.
Very good.
And eat my placenta. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do that next time and throw down my husband's smoothie without him knowing.
Like, yeah, exactly. For real. That's why I asked.
You just ate my placenta. Un amarre. Is that an amarre?
That can serve both purposes.
Exactly. Very good.
Well, thank you guys so much.
Thank you so much.
It was awesome. You guys are great.
Nice. Thank you.
And next time, you guys, we're going to start reading your emails. I know there's sometimes you guys write us emails and it's really hard for us to get back to you guys, but please, we love you so much. And believe me, we appreciate all the emails we receive. It's just sometimes a little tough for us to actually like write out replies.
Yes.
But we're going to start reading them.
Yes.
And reply. So if you want to be kept anonymous, let us know. And if not, we're going to shout you out. So you guys, again, you can write to us through our website under Contact Us.
Thank you guys.
Thank you guys so much.
We are moms.
I know.
Yes, we are.
I have an 8-month old. I have two kids. My God. My kid's 8 months. Tomorrow.
Wow. Tomorrow
he turns 8 months.
Wow. My son's birthday is tomorrow.
Happy birthday, Sky.
And then my other son is next week. Happy birthday, Weston.
That's nice.
Okay, guys.
Well, thank you so much, Lauren, again.
And happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Enjoy. We are grateful for you guys.
We are grateful for all the Supermama sisters. Yes.
Yeah, really grateful.
Happy Thanksgiving, you guys.
Enjoy. Thank you for working hard.
Okay.
We're out.
Supermama. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Say bye, Lauren.
Bye.